This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
What if the key to treating depression came from psychedelic mushrooms? Well, new research led by Swinburne University has found that psilocybin may be a game changer for people whose depression doesn't respond to standard treatments. And this afternoon, so welcome back to Professor Susan Rossall, who led the groundbreaking trial. Susan, welcome back to Drive.
Thank you. It's great to be back with you.
This is huge. What makes these results so exciting?
I think, you know, we have seen over the last couple of years since the TGA made their groundbreaking decision to bring this into the prescribing world in Australia, considerable interest in this. And there has been some previous trials in the UK and certainly in the US. But this is the first Australian trial, so I'm feeling really proud that we got the first Australian data out there in depression. But one of the things, it's not a massive trial. We didn't have really large numbers. But one of the things that we did was we used modern statistics to really look at the changes over time for all of the individuals on the trial, so we can see what individual patterns we've got, and to try and really understand who this works best for, which I think is going to be a critical game changer for this work.
Now, for those who might be picturing a wild psychedelic trip, what actually happens during a psilocybin-assisted therapy session?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is really important that your listeners understand this. It's part of a course of psychotherapy. They don't just come in, do this, and then go home. So they have some preparatory sessions where their history of their disorder is talked about, what's going to happen in the psychedelic session is talked about, but also, you know, really thinking through what have been some of the challenges and some of the barriers for their perhaps improvements with other interventions that they've had in the past, to set them on a path to try and work through things a little bit differently when they go into the psychedelic session. So the session itself is about 8 hours. So the oral psilocybin is taken in the morning, and it usually takes around 8 hours for the person to then stop experiencing in the psychedelic effects. And within that session, obviously they do have psychedelic experiences, often very creative experiences, very visual experiences. They might not feel as if they're in their body sometimes, but through that and through the psychotherapy that's wrapped around and over the next few days, one tries to get in touch with things that maybe you haven't been able to get in touch with in terms of previous psychotherapy, to perhaps change your thought patterns and think about things differently in ways that will be helpful for you.
Now, you've worked with people whose depression didn't respond to other treatments. How quickly did you start to see changes in mood or mindset?
Yeah, for the people that this worked for, really, really amazingly quickly. As you've referred to, these people are people with treatment resistance. So what that means is it means that they have tried numerous interventions over the years. They've often tried two or three different types of pharmacology or drug treatments or antidepressants. They've often tried numerous courses of psychotherapy, and they seem to be stuck in their depression. So for those people that did have an effect, really almost straight away, they came out of the psychedelic session and within a few days were feeling better than they've felt for an awful long time. And I will say at this juncture, there is a caution here. It didn't work for everybody.
Okay, now we're chatting with Professor Susan Rossall from Swinburne University of Technology about Australia's first research trial using psychedelic psilocybin to treat depression. How many out of the trial participants it didn't work for, Susan?
So this is the interesting phenomena that we've got. So we only had a small number, so you know, we have to take these findings with caution. So it worked very well for three. It worked intermediately for two. So they had these profound changes initially, but then they did what we call relapse into their depressive episode. But for two people, it didn't work at all. So you know, we've got this kind of almost a third, where we've got these variable responses. And that's really why one of the things that we really like about the data for this trial is we've really tried to understand what is predicting those kind of responses as well, using some like really fancy stats.
What was it like hearing from participants afterwards? Were there any moments that really stuck with you?
Yeah, I mean, there were several things that, you know, people, for the people that this really helped, that they, and you hear this again and again in mental health, that they'd felt stuck, they'd felt in these very negative thought patterns, and the psychedelics just helped them to think differently, think more creatively about the problems that they had with their lives, approach things in a different manner than the way that they would previously been able to do. And a lot of them, even though they might not have had the substantial changes in their depression that they wanted to, they did feel, and this sounds like a strange word to use in mental health research, but they did feel lighter. They did feel like they were more flexible. So independent of whether it had the full transition into depression, leaving their depression, there were some positive effects.
What would you say to people who say, you know what, it's not safe to use substances like psychedelics? Are there any safety concerns or side effects that people should know about?
Look, this is obviously very general. Mm. I think in general, they are safe in the right context. And that's, I will always say they are safe in the right context. You know, we don't want to be seeing this taken underground. We need to have proper controls for this. And yes, there are adverse events. You know, people can have some very negative experiences during their psychedelic experience. But part of that is trying to make sense of why they're having their negative experiences and try and put that together in terms of why their consciousness and why this is happening for them in the psychotherapy that wraps around. So it's not without some trepidation that we go into this, but we need to do it in safe context. But overall, it's pretty safe.
And if we're thinking about the people who had the positive results, I mean, we're talking about treatment-resistant patients, aren't
exactly.
we? So there's no other
exactly.
option. So if they're improving their depression, surely that's a good thing.
Absolutely. And I mean, and this is one of the reasons why I'm doing this work. Mm. We need to, I've been working on people with treatment-resistant mental health disorders for a number of years, and I had lots of conversations with you about it. You know, these are people that are particularly stuck, and we need novel options. And I've always said that, you know, psychedelics isn't something that we would do, you know, right from the outset, because it's expensive and it's labor-intensive, and you know, and that we do need to have these appropriate contexts to do this work. But if we've got all of that and we're working with people that do have treatment resistance, it does seem like a sensible option now.
Now, how close are we, Susan, to seeing this kind of treatment available, I suppose, more widely in Australia for other treatment-resistant people?
Look, in terms of other conditions, and again, I've spoken to you this, we're very, very early days. We've got some work at the moment with binge eating disorder that we're currently recruiting for, and also people with anorexia and body dysmorphia that we're still investigating whether there's any efficacy. I know there's other groups around Australia also looking at PTSD and a number of other conditions. So it's very early days in terms of investigating other conditions. And then in terms of availability, that is one of the headaches, I guess, that we're facing at the moment. This doesn't have a PBS number, so it is very expensive. It is available in a few private clinics that I know of, but unfortunately, it's not very widely available. But that is because we do need more research to really fine-tune this as an intervention.
That's offering hope, Susan. We need to chat with you again. Keep us posted, please.
We do.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Drive.
No problem at all.
Thank you, Professor Susan Rossell from Swinburne University of Technology.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.